sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move with Becky Ivins. And you are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company. What we try to do here is to bring you information that's going to be really helpful to you in and surrounding your home. So we want to welcome a guest today. Now, Todd's been on one other time. This is Todd Cox and Jesse Cox, and they're winterization experts. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, Becky.
You have a previous life. I have a previous life. I was a social worker.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and a parole officer.
Oh, my.
Oh, I know. For juveniles, which is even more dangerous than adults.
Very unpredictable.
Yeah, for sure, right? So I have a previous life. What did you do in your previous life?
Well, I worked for Oklahoma City Fire Department for 22 years, right here in the metro, and retired 8 years ago.
Okay. So you look very young to have already be retired.
Well, thank you.
So we're going to talk today about weatherization.
Okay.
That's what you do,
that's
right?
That's what we do.
Well, to kind of describe to me, what is it that you do?
Well, weatherization is the acts that are performed to keep a home safe as far as fire goes and weather, air, that type of thing. It allows the temperatures to remain comfortable. It also helps you on utility bills.
Okay. Kind of insulation?
Insulation is a very big part of it.
Okay. So when we talk about insulation, we talk about R values.
Yes, that's probably the most common question.
What is an R value?
An R value is a conduction test that tries to make all materials so that consumers can compare them. And it's a little bit misleading because it's only one aspect of how temperature changes from one to another. There's radiant, convective, and conductive. And an R value test is a conductive test. So the misleading part of it is it only makes up about 8% of the energy that comes and goes through a house or a structure. And so we're trying to base our decision of our value based on 8% knowledge.
Well, that doesn't sound very encouraging,
no,
does it?
But that's because fiberglass industry is the one that kind of set the stage with the government on how insulations would be tested. And so insulation is tested at 74 degrees with no air or anything behind it, no wind currents. So it's pretty misleading.
Well, especially for Oklahoma.
Yes, ma'am.
Our wind currents today are pretty good.
Yes, ma'am.
So how else would you, if you had created this system, what would you have taken into account?
Well, other industries or other people within the industry, especially the cellulose industry, which we're in, that's a type of insulation we use, they have, there's a K value, and that actually takes more things into consideration, like convection, that's air currents behind it, and also the radiant aspect of it. So when you factor all that in, you get a little bit better performance rating by looking at a K value or something like that. But
What does the K stand for?
It has to do with like Kelvin, that type of thing. But as far as end results is really all that's important. And our background, we've got quite a few reviews on Angie's List and some of the other things that are available online. And the results are we average about 35% reduction in people's utility bills, and they had fiberglass before, and all we've done is add some of ours to it. So we've captured some of the lost value that they had due to air currents and put our product on top of it and do the air sealing that we do.
Okay. Now, when you were here before, you talked a lot about just the whole home.
The house is a system.
Right. And so your business is you sell insulation. What else do you do?
Well, air sealing. We look at ductwork. Ductwork is probably one of the things that's the biggest energy waster. It's kind of a silent thing that people don't notice. But you know, there's the average testing that OG&E and some of the other testing agencies have done here in the metro have said that an average new home leaks 25% of its air every hour out of the ductwork. And so that's really a big loss when you think about that. Now they've tightened up the requirements on ductwork, and in certain cities in Oklahoma City around Oklahoma City are doing a better job of making sure those are sealed. But that's really job one, is to make sure that all the air stays within the system and within the home and doesn't leak outside.
Yeah, the conditioned air. Once you condition it, you want it to stay in the home, right?
You paid for it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So why would a duct system leak?
Well, we blame a lot of it on the cable guy. So
oh.
He comes after the fact sometimes and throws his cable across the attic and pulls on it. Many times a duct gets damaged or pulled away, and so that little leak is there fairly silent. You don't notice it. But what happens to the home is the house goes into a negative pressure situation. You've lost some of the air that was going through that system, and it escaped to the outside. So air wants to come back to neutralize that pressure. And a lot of times what's coming with it is your insulation that's in your attic is coming through the cracks in the ceiling because the air is trying to come back.
Huh. So when you mention attic, there's a whole lot of things that happen in an attic.
Yes, ma'am.
Most people think of an attic as a very, just a void that's up there and nothing ever occurs. But there's a lot of things that happen in an attic.
Here lately, Jesse, you probably could describe what you've seen as far as pests in the attic.
Yeah, there's all kinds of pests that show up in the attic, and the product that we use actually deters most of them. And I am actually the guy that goes up in the attic and kind of takes a lot of pictures. I get in the attic a lot, so there's a lot of weird things that go on in the attic where there's missing insulation and there's pests that are trampling the insulation or removing insulation from ductwork and things like that. So there's a lot of things to consider in an attic.
Could someone hire you to go into an attic and just kind of check it?
Yes. Well, what we do is actually a free service where we can do an attic inspection and a ductwork inspection. We even bring a thermal imager for free.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Many times on home inspections, one of the things that's written up is that the insulation is unequally distributed. And what that really means is someone has tried to install a light fixture or garage door opener or something.
Yes, ma'am.
And has swept away insulation and not put it back again.
Yeah, that's pretty much most common what we find. So a lot of times they would put like a light fixture and they would move the insulation away and then never put it back. And that's very common.
Yeah. Do you know I sold a house that was 2 years old once that had no insulation in the attic?
Oh, wow.
I know.
How did they pass inspection initially? That's my question.
I'm not sure they did. I don't know. But it was, that's one of the last, well, that's why it had no insulation in the attic, is because it has to pass inspection before they put the insulation in. So the last thing you do is put the insulation in because the inspector from the municipality that you're in wants to see the wiring and the ductwork and the lights and everything that's up there in the attic. So you can't put insulation in until after that inspection. So someone just forgot to do it. Seems like they would have noticed that their bills were pretty high.
I would think so, too.
Yeah. Someone else was paying their bills
for
is
sure.
What happened.
Yeah.
It was a builder.
Oh, really?
His bookkeeper was paying the bills and just didn't notice that these bills were real high. I know.
No point of reference, probably.
I guess
she didn't
not.
Live in the home.
Right. There you go. For sure. So when you talk about weatherization, tell me what that really means, weatherization. I mean, I think about weather stripping. So you tell me what it means to you.
Yeah, that's very common. It has to do with air sealing is pretty important. So we do pay attention to the ductwork. And there's also things, if you think about your home and the penetrations that go through it, the HVAC ductwork goes through the sheetrock, can lights or recessed cans, light fixtures. There's also in the walls, there's some plumbing. So from the attic's point of view, that's where we do all our air sealing. So crews go through there and they find those. They pull the insulation back and they insulate those. So that's the air sealing aspect. And then we will apply mastic to the joints of any ductwork that might have gaps in it. It's usually on one end and the other, not so much in between. And then hot walls is pretty much in today's type of structures that we have. You have a lot of homes that have different ceiling heights. You go from a 12-foot to a 10-foot and so on. That creates a dynamic in the attic that you have to put a an enhancement, and we use a foam board with a radiant barrier on it to make that, to beef that wall up so that it's a little bit closer to the performance of what the ceiling is, because it is exposed to the same temperatures that the attic is to the house.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we return right after these breaks with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. First of all, thank you for listening today. And you're about to be more informed than you were before you tuned on to the radio today, because we are talking to Todd and Jesse Cox and about weatherization of your home, and things have changed over the years. If you have a question, I want you to give us a call at 840-1000. It's 405-840-1000 is our listener line number. And we're going to talk a little bit. I look at your brochure here, and I'm seeing something that says Green Fiber. Is that a brand?
That is a brand, yes.
Okay, now what is Green Fiber?
Green Fiber is the largest manufacturer right now of cellulose insulation. They got that way by buying up some of the smaller ones. And so Green Fiber is cellulose insulation. That's what they do, and it's made from newsprint and cardboard. And then, of course, there's a fire retardant added to it. And they make both sides of the equation. If you go to a big box store and you see an insulation on the shelf in there, they're the ones that provide the cellulose insulation that's in the stores.
Okay.
But so the one we use is significantly higher quality than that. It has a different fire retardant that's very important.
When you say fire retardant, what comes to my mind, Todd, is chemicals and breathing chemicals.
Glad you brought that up.
Tell me about that, because I get real concerned about things in our house, particularly when they become heated, like in an attic.
Okay.
So tell me how this fire retardant is going to affect us.
Well, most every insulation is going to probably have a fire retardant in it on the cellulose side. Now, fiberglass doesn't burn, obviously. It melts, but so it doesn't need that type of a fire retardant in it, but paper obviously would. And since we're using paper, we'll talk about that. 90% of the manufacturers out there use a product called ammonium sulfate, which is a chemical. And so it has a lot of negative attributes, and that's why we steer clear of that. We've always used a product called 100% borate. And the borate is an element, and it does not break down. It does not off-gas. It is inert. It does have the ability to kill insects because it's a desiccant. So certain types of insects that crawl across it and they ingest their environment to try and figure out where their food source is, they just end up dehydrating.
Would it kill a termite?
It most definitely would kill termites.
Because cellulose also brings up termites to me.
Correct. It would. They're after wet wood is what they're after. So if you have a wood that's untreated, you'll definitely, termites would go after it. Cellulose, they could not ingest any of it. They would dehydrate it. It would just kill them all. So,
well, now they eat the sheetrock paper.
It doesn't have any type of it doesn't have borate in it.
Oh, okay.
The borate is the key. Borate is the fire retardant that's in there, but the additional attributes that it brings to the table is it will kill all molds that come in contact with it.
Mold as in M-O-L-D?
Yes, mold.
Okay.
Yes. It'll also kill any type of insect that samples its environment. In other words, they don't use antennas to go around and looking for what they're after. They're using their front feet to taste their environment. So spiders, roaches, silverfish, those type of things, termites.
So they cannot, that's not a habitat for them.
They cannot, no, they will.
Well, I am really glad that we're talking, because that is the one thing that I conjure up in my mind when I think about cellulose insulation. I'm thinking recycled paper. Yeah. This is probably not a good thing to put in your attic.
Well, when I first started in this, I was in my seventh year on the fire department, and I did catch a lot of flack from a lot of the older, veterans on the fire department that had seen some of the cellulose of the past and how it smolders. But this is so much more advanced, and it does not smolder. We on our website, you can see some videos that we have that I actually take a handful of material, place a penny in my hand, light a torch, and I melt that penny. It takes about 35 seconds, and that torch does not burn my hand. as I have the cellulose between my hand and that torch, and I have a liquid penny at the end of the
you
test.
You would think a firefighter would know better than take a torch to their hand, right?
We kind of like fire, though.
So, well, we do have a caller that has a question. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Do you have a question?
Yes, ma'am, I do, and I very much appreciate your show.
Thank you.
My wife and I are building a house and considering the expanding foam insulation. I would have very much appreciate your opinions between the cellulose insulation that you are installing and the spray foam insulation that goes up on the actual roof.
Well, Mike, hang on, and we can have a discussion instead of just a question on this, because that would be my question as well, by the way, is why would you, and why couldn't you use both even? Maybe you can, but the foam kind of encapsulates things. It's a noise retardant. I mean, it gets good press. And I suppose you could install that if you wanted to, right?
No, I would never do it.
Well, but you could.
Oh, I could, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you have a choice as to what materials you use. You could do that as well.
Yeah.
So tell me about the insulation, the foam spray-on insulation.
Primarily two types. There's what they call a closed cell and an open cell. Obviously, people have heard them say that before. The closed cell is usually a 2-pound density. It's very firm. It's usually sprayed on about an inch or at the most 2 inches of thickness. That's a urethane-type foam base. The type of foam that he's probably referring to that goes to the roofline is a polyisocyanate foam, and that's a half-pound density foam, and it expands very quickly. You've probably seen it on TV, you know, on all the home shows.
I've seen it in a lot of attics.
Okay. And so one of the things, you know, Jesse has done quite a bit of research on this, and we've done some home side-by-side comparison of that type of application, even using our material to the roof line so that we could do a fair comparison and say, here's 6 inches of our cellulose insulation against 6 inches of foam. But the tragic flaw to the open cell foam, the one that people are considering going to the roof line, is I was a hazmat technician for 22 years on the fire department. So MSDS sheets were pretty common for me to look into and just research and that type of thing. About 12 years ago, I discovered something that just jumped off the page on me. One of the major manufacturers, we can't say their name, but the CAS number is how you identify a chemical, and that chemical is the same throughout all the manufacturers of this isocyanate foam we're talking about. And one of them disclosed that it produces hydrogen cyanide when the fire happens. And so to me, that's off limits. We shouldn't subject our family or any of our friends or anything to that type of risk with the hydrogen cyanide being produced when it burns. And on our website, we've got a link to an NFPA video where they're testing all 6 types of insulation in a fire test. So this is subjective to that type of scientific, you know, proper testing. And the foam actually got away from them, and then within 44 seconds, they hit 1,900 degrees, which is about 700 degrees hotter than a flashover. And so that's why we won't use it.
Okay. So you come from a firefighter background, and so health and safety were your business.
Yes, and I really wanted to use foam. This was what got me started in this. My career before I was on the fire department was a trim carpenter. So I built my first home about my 7th year, and I was considering using foam, but just because of budget constraints, I couldn't. I was always kind of disappointed, but in that process, I was exposed and learned about cellulose, and I decided everybody needs this. It's a lot safer, healthier product.
Okay. Does that kind of answer the question, Mike?
Yes, it really does.
I'm going to get
information to know.
Let me give you the website, if I can find it on his little brochure here. It is is this your website, greenfiber.com?
No.
Oh, weatherization.expert. Weatherization, not winterization, but weatherization.expert. is the website. And if you want to know about the particular thing he uses, this is just a brand, and it's called greenfiber.com. And you know, I don't know if you're promoting that particular brand or anything, but it's just that gives us more knowledge and more just the more information you have, the better off you're going to be. So I like that. And Mike, yes, I've been thinking about the same thing, so I'm glad you asked that question.
Well, thank you very much for the information, and I will look it up on the website.
Okay. Todd Cox, Jesse Cox are here in the studio with us today. And if you have a question, I want you to give us a call at 840-1000. Dean Riddell with SWBC Mortgage is trying to call in, but his head cold just isn't allowing it. So if you want to talk about a mortgage, it is 858-7770. And we'll return right after this news break with more of Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move with Becky Ivins. You are listening to Becky Ivins and to Todd and Jesse Cox. I'm the broker of Movers Real Estate Company. That's what I do every day. I go out, evaluate property values and marketability, negotiate contracts and negotiate repairs, and take those little transactions to closing. And that's our favorite part, is the closing day. What Todd and Jesse do every day is they analyze homes for weatherization and safety. And we're going to talk a little bit more about safety right after.
Mama, come on, baby, tell me what's the word, a word of. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you got to get it underway.
It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to help you pick the right material for your roof. Also, to kind of inspect under the roof to be sure you don't have any soft decking or something that is going to become a problem later. And their number, 728-3700, Robbins Roofing. I will tell you something Robbins Roofing does that I love this about them. They're fair to start with, reasonably priced and all that kind of stuff. I'm a real fan of Robbins Roofing. They check your attic after they're finished putting on a roof, because I cannot tell you how many times a home inspector has found that the flue from the hot water tank or the furnace has become undone and just emitting fumes into the attic after they drop those shingles on there and hammer a new roof on. Mm. Sometimes it just, you know, those are telescopic vents, and they just kind of fall within themselves, and there you're emitting your carbon monoxide right into your attic. So
very unsafe.
They do a really good job of that, and so I love the fact that they care about the safety of the home. So are you ready to take another phone call before we go on?
Sure.
Okay. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing very good. I have a question about an older home that we bought in downtown Oklahoma City. It was built in 1944, just a little house that we're going to rent. And there's no insulation underneath the...
Under the floor?
Right.
Because it's a conventional floor built up.
Yeah,
okay.
It's on a crawl space. And I guess they never did that, but it doesn't seem to me like that it's... It seems like there should be something underneath there to insulate it.
Well, we do a lot of that. And I'll let Jesse field this one. He's been doing a lot of crawl spaces lately.
You're the crawler, Jesse?
In some cases, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, when we look at a home that's of that age in the 40s and stuff with a crawl space, the crawl space is one of the things that we look at after we look at the walls and the attic. It's kind of a lower priority, actually. One of the highest priorities during the winter, at least, is to make sure you can close some vents so you don't get any air that's transferring below the house. That'll help tremendously. But going after the crawl space in most cases is going to be a little expensive side when you can get better benefit from the attic or the wall insulation. In the 40s, you're usually not going to have wall insulation on that home unless it's been remodeled.
Yeah, the walls in a house in Oklahoma. It may be different in different parts of the country, but we didn't insulate walls until the late 50s.
That's right. Yeah.
Correct.
And so the walls have no insulation, and they weren't really caulked real good. I know that my house, when I built it, we literally went and we sealed up the 2x4s that on the stud out exterior stud walls. We used tape to put the stuff on the outside. We do have a really good, our house does hold a good temperature, which is great. But not everybody gets to do that. I had a friend that was retired and loved doing that kind of thing, so I hired him to do it, and that was terrific. But under a house, I've seen people put stuff under a house, and they kind of like string a wire kind of crisscross on the floor joist, and I've seen them put like the bats of insulation, and you just string the wire under it so that it just kind of holds them up there.
That's a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage.
Yeah, but, I mean, wouldn't you, first of all, accessing under there is difficult because most of these homes have had central heat and air added under the house, so the duct work almost prohibits getting under there and doing anything.
You've got to be strategic about it. How we do it is sometimes the duct work is inhibiting you from going across, and we'll disconnect it temporarily while we do the work. We don't ever use fiberglass, so that's why I kind of snickered when you said that, because there's a lot of gaps. You put a fiberglass bat in the cavity, but you've got a space on each side of it because they don't fit really tight necessarily. The product we use is stabilized cellulose is what we would use under there. There's also some pretty good foam boards that have fire retardants in them. No chemicals. They're usually like borate or something like that.
Borate's like on the chemical chart, right?
It's on the periodic table.
Elements. Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And it doesn't change forms. It doesn't matter how hot the temperature gets. I assume maybe 5,000-6,000 degrees. It's still going to be borate.
Okay.
So it doesn't break down, and it's not a chemical compound like the ammonium sulfate that we talked about earlier that a lot of celluloses are. So anything that people hear bad about cellulose, I would encourage them to dig a little deeper and make sure that we're talking about, you know, the right type of cellulose.
So, Jeff, is your house, are the walls insulated?
No, I don't think they are, but what can you do after the fact?
Well, you can, actually.
Yeah.
So what can you do after the fact?
Well, on a wall that, is it a plaster wall, plaster and lath?
Yeah, it's
okay. Well, those are really good. Really good candidate. Okay, yeah. What we do is we drill a 2.5-inch hole at the top of the wall in each cavity, and we can backfill that with cellulose. We dense pack it, actually, and we can get a, if it's a 2x4 wall, we can get an R14 in there. And when we're done, we plug it with a styrofoam plug, and we plaster, or we use a mud to go right over it, and you won't most time notice that we are even there until after you paint it, at least. And it's a real simple process.
You shoot it, I guess, from the top down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the attics are most important.
Well, you know,
the attic has cellulose in it.
Awesome.
But it's old. Does that matter?
We could look at it for free. We have a thermal imager, you know, might put in. A lot of people tell us that my attic's been insulated, you know, and we get up there and we go realize, well, it's all a matter of perspective. You know, the department.
Is one of the things with cellulose is that it compacts and you have to re-add it?
That's more than likely true in his case.
Okay.
Everything will settle, and it's blown in at a lighter density than it would settle to. The settled density of cellulose at 1.4 pounds per cubic inch. But you heard me use the word stabilized. We add moisture to it. That activates an adhesive. And, of course, the inherent properties of paper is if you get a little bit moist, it's going to kind of bind to itself. So we put it in at about 1.6 pounds of density. So, therefore, the manufacturer, Green Fiber, like you said earlier, they offer a lifetime warranty against settling.
Oh.
Because of that.
Really? So. Do you know what we forgot to do?
No, ma'am.
Define our word of the day.
Word of the day.
Our word of the day is actually, it's STC.
Sound Transmission Class.
Okay. I'm real interested in this because I'm building an office, and I want it to be from one office to the next. I want it to be sound insulated. And you deal in insulation, so what is STC?
Sound transmission class is, let's say we had a, it's usually between walls, like you have your office next door and you don't want to hear them, they don't want to hear you type of thing. So if you put sheetrock on each side of that empty wall cavity, you'd have an STC rating of 31. 60 is the magic number we're looking for, because at 60, you're going to, loud speech is not heard. So that's what the goal is.
But you can't use just regular, like our office that we have now, we insulated the walls, interior walls, because we wanted some privacy.
And how did that work for you?
Did not work at all.
You want me to tell you why?
Yes.
Lots of promoting and marketing misleads you, because the fiberglass bat industry has kind of a corner on that. A lot of marketing, and they'll say they have an STC rating of 33, but you as a consumer don't know what questions to ask or what that's in perspective to. So what they're really telling you is you just bought a product that gave you 2 points on that 0 to 60 scale, because they're taking credit for the first 31 that empty wall cavity had. If you put spray foam in the wall, you'd be at a 43. If you put cellulose in the wall, you'd be at a 51. We're much closer to a 60.
Okay, and 60 is the magic number.
Yeah, and loud speech won't be heard. Doesn't mean you can't hear a jet airliner.
Right. Wow, okay. Well, that's, to me, very interesting. So time goes by really fast. If you have a question and you want to hear about weatherization, I want you to give us a call at 840-1000, 840-1000. By the way, the website to go to find out information on this is weatherization.expert, and you can just learn a lot. And you guys will come out and check someone's attic.
Yes, ma'am. It's a free service that we provide, free inspection. We provide a quote that would let you see what the itemized items are, and we do thermal imaging, which is a really cool product.
And I've heard something about you guys that I like a lot, and that's that you don't do fear tactics in your marketing.
No, ma'am. No.
Because you...
There's plenty of work out there for me without having to go to that level.
Right, right. So I like that. We're going to return with more right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate. Give me a call sometime at 722-3232. I'll help you figure out if your house is worth enough to put it on the market. So sometimes your evaluation of your house, you might be the highest bidder on your house. So, and that's okay too, but if you decide to keep it, but it's hard to make that decision as to whether or not you going to move if you don't know how much your house is going to bring on the market, and not just the sales price, but the net number. I really pride myself on the fact that I study that really hard. I have developed a knack for that over the years, and just to figure out what is a house worth, how will it sell.
You're an expert.
Well, I think I've, with time and study and experience, you kind of become an expert, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We don't have much time left. So what is the thing that I should have asked you that I didn't?
Got any ideas?
Jesse, what do you want to tell the folks?
Well, with our company, we do the free energy analysis, so we can come out to their home and give them an idea of what might be costing them energy in their home, and we do that for free. We bring our thermal imager, and they can see through the camera what their walls and their ceiling and even their floor look like, if they might be really cold during this winter, or they might be losing energy during the summer or gaining energy during the summer. So that's something that they should kind of think about. And it's really nice for us to have that opportunity. All we want to do is just kind of give an education process with them.
Yeah. Do you know, if you go into your attic and get your Christmas decorations out and you see the ceiling joists in your attic, which I guess when you're in the attic, they're the floor joists, right?
Yes.
But if you can see those boards, you probably don't have enough insulation.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Right?
Yeah. Or if you have something that looks like snow, white insulation, I tell you, give us a call. We can help you.
Okay. Now, what do you do on, like, do you ever put weather stripping on and things like that, or do you guys just concentrate on the other stuff?
No, we do. We have a laundry list of about 20 or 30 services we provide. Weather stripping of doors is one of them, and there's a lot of different types and varieties of doors. We're really experts at adjusting them. That's what my background was in the past history, was a trim carpenter, so I could really dial in a door to make it fit nice. We have the ability to do that.
Well, I could use you on about half of my listings. Our earth moves, and somehow those hinges get out of whack.
Yeah.
And so
a lot of things working against you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I have a lot of respect for a trim carpenter. You know, my first year of college, what I did? I worked in a cabinet factory.
Wow.
I did.
That's what I did.
We built cabinets for the Sears catalog.
Wow.
Anyone remember Sears catalog?
Yeah.
If you remember Sears catalog, give me a call.
I've thrown one on a fire
if
before.
You've actually...
Takes forever.
Call us up here at 840-1000, and the first three people that can tell me they ordered something from a Sears catalog, I'm going to give you a free lunch at Casa Perico's. So, Mr. Gannon, be sure to take their number so that I can get back in touch with them. On what do you find to be the biggest, other than just attic insulation, and I know that's a big deal, but other than that, what do you find to be the biggest downfall that most people don't know about weatherization that they need to do or add?
It's probably going to be the ductwork. You know, the ductwork is really an HVAC contractor's duty to do, but we keep our eyes open for it, and we're allowed to do the sealing at the masticing, like I talked about earlier. The tests have been shown, like I said earlier, the 25% duct leakage is pretty common, and that's a big vicious cycle. The whole time you're trying to produce air conditioning, you're pulling in hot, moist air from the outside in the summer, and vice versa in the winter.
And you're a firefighter, at least a retired firefighter.
Yes, ma'am.
You're pretty young to be retired. But tell me what people can do, particularly during the month of December, to help keep them safe against house fires.
Probably have an inspection done by a professional. Make sure that water heater and that heater, you know, a heater is a very important thing. You could have a heat exchanger leaking, putting carbon monoxide in the house. There's other things other than fires that kill people. And so we want to keep that carbon monoxide. Get you a carbon monoxide detector. If you don't have a smoke detector, obviously you got to have one of those.
You know, well, at least one of those.
At least one. You know, outside the bedrooms, a couple of them, two of them, three of them's good.
Firefighters still install those if
I believe
you ask
so.
Them to? That's a pretty good deal.
When I was on 8 years ago, we did that quite frequently as part of the pub ed part. We would go through neighborhoods and actually go door to door and soliciting, see if they needed a smoke detector, and we would actually install it. Right,
I mean, they don't need to call 911 to get one installed, probably, but you can just look up the number for the fire department, their landline number, and just ask them, do you have anybody that could help me put up a smoke detector?
They can call 297-3462. That's downtown.
297-3462.
Yes.
Do you have a phone number where they could call you?
Yes, our number is 392-3764.
Okay. We're going to put that on our website. So on Monday, you'll be able to see that that's on there. And we do have Martha, Carol, and Roger hang on because, Roger worked at the Sears catalog.
You got to get two dinners.
I'm not promoting Sears, by the way. Not even a fan. But we did. That was my first job in college. I worked at a cabinet. In fact, I still have a cabinet, and I won't let go of it. But it's an upper kitchen cabinet that I've always used on the floor upside down just for storage. But it kind of reminds me of that 35 hours a week I worked at that cabinet factory.
Did the same.
Did you?
First year out of high school, I worked at a cabinet shop for a year in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Well, mine was in Keene, Texas.
Keene, Texas.
Uh-huh. So, pretty cool. Well, thank you for coming.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
And, Jesse, thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah. Weatherization.experts is the website if you want to be.
No S.
Dot expert.
Yes.
Thank you. And that will get you to a website to educate you, and you guys are going to come out and do a free analysis if somebody wants you to. But you'll talk to them on the phone, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And just give them all the particulars they need to know. I want to remind you guys today at 11 o'clock, I want you to come see us at our office at 6905 Northwest 122nd Street, 122nd and Rockwell, just a block east. And Mr. Gannon, could we say good morning to Martha? Good morning, Martha.
Good morning to you.
How are you today?
I'm fine. I called to tell you they ordered from the Sears catalog in 1947.
1947, before they had insulation in the walls. Well, Merry Christmas to you, Martha.
Thank you.
Carol, good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm doing well. I myself ordered from the Sears catalog, and my father told how his father had ordered a sewing machine for his mother, and it arrived in Herman, Nebraska, and there was a tornado that demolished the station and took away the sewing machine, and Sears sent him a new one.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's nice. Well, we're out of time, Roger. Wish we could talk to you, but we'll return here next week with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.